And so as a leader, like, what are you focused on? And I think if you fix your focus, or if you get clear your focus, like the three things, the three secrets that we gave you, like they'll be like, you'll see them, you'll understand them, you'll be able to get over them. But if your focus is on, you know, the number or the money or whatever that isn't about people, that's where it's hard for people to get over and understand these secrets to be able to scale.
Welcome to the B2B Digital Marketer Podcast, a podcast helping you to end your struggle with digital marketing, helping you to pave a new and better path to target and capture your ideal customer. Each week, we teach you how insiders and experts debunk the dreary and become engines of innovation. Now, here's your host, Jim Rembach.
Okay, B2B DM gang, man, I'm excited. We're going to have a great discussion today because I've already had one. Now we're going to get a chance to hopefully record it and revive it and add more to it because we have Gary Guymon on the show today. Gary, welcome.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Look forward to this discussion. If it's anything like the last, 15 minutes we've had, we should be able to provide some solid value.
Most definitely. So we're going to be talking about the secret roadblocks to business growth. And Gary has some specializations in regards to, you know, local businesses growing and in the both, you know, business to consumer and business to business space. But his insights are transferable to all of us in regards to doing business, and especially for those B2B high ticket organizations that I often am working with myself. So I'm glad to have you on the show. But before we get into the details of three things that really are just kind of mysteries to a lot of, you know, business owners and top level executives and in medium sized organizations that want to get to that next level. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I am what they call a serial entrepreneur. Probably 19 years of age, I've only had a W-2 job for someone else, probably five or six of those years, maybe seven. And I'll be 50 in another month, which is, a milestone. I've always been a sales and marketing person in all my ventures. I mean, that's what the growth has been. I started out, learned telemarketing by selling lawn care when I was like 19. And the first sale that I made was like adrenaline. And I want that feeling. So I've sold, obviously lawn care, but I've also sold, mortgages. I was in the mortgage world for about 10 or 11 years. And then owned a home service company that did exterior cleaning, Christmas light installation. And now Dominate Partners is in the digital marketing space, as well as, you know, we do some business consulting. And I've always had success with sales and marketing. And, I feel like that was the launch pad to business ownership for me. And, you know, we're going to get into a few things about this, but getting to certain levels of revenue was always like, getting seven figures a year. Like that was the first, you know, milestone you always wanted to hit. And I always knew that my sales and marketing was only going to get me so far. So I've spent, you know, the last 5 or 6 years trying to find people to go and build around me so we can grow and become something crazy. But, in that entrepreneur journey, I've learned so much in terms of experience that, you know, that hard teacher, school of hard knocks that, you know, we've been able to translate, especially now to other business owners with Dominate Partners. But, just focused on helping business owners achieve what they view as success. And if you were to put a summary about who I am, what I am, like that sentence embodies what I try to do. Like my goal is to help business owners achieve their version of success because everybody's version is different. Right. And I wake up every morning and that's what I'm focused on.
Well, as we were talking, you know, you explained that the 15 minutes that we chatted prior to actually start recording is we really were identifying things that were very similar to what you deal with your clients and your prospects. And what I see, that, you know, organizations are dealing with on the B2B high ticket sales side. It's because they're human beings that are still involved with it, right? Yeah. So there was really three things that were kind of a mystery to a lot of people. And then as part of our work that you and I do, you know, we are bringing these things to light so that people can hopefully become enlightened and then therefore make the changes in order to achieve, you know, those goals and aspirations that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So those three things that we, oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's interesting that, you know, we're using that word secret, which is the right word, right? Because people get, and when I say people, business owners, they get blocked and they're trying to find that answer. And really the answers are right in front of them. Most of the time it's a matter of somebody helping them see. It's like coming along and cleaning the glass so you can see it. And I feel like that's what we, based upon our conversations, Jim, I feel like that's what we both do. It's not something that's hidden from anybody. And we're the only ones with the answers. It's just that we get so focused on what it is we're trying to accomplish, we lose sight of maybe a bigger picture, or we lose sight of something that's right in front of us. And that happens in all periods, in all parts of your life. But in business, when it happens, it's affecting not just you, but it's affecting everybody in your organization and all the people that you touch. So it's really important to understand what these secrets are. And I think we hit on three things that if people focus on the actual activity to improve, they're going to see great results down the road.
Most definitely. And they are roadblocks, right? So if I think about, I want to scale and I want, you know, to ultimately get to, and let's not even talk about timelines, you know, let's just throw out, some example numbers. Okay. So I'm sitting at $5 million worth of revenue and I want to get to 50. Well, there's a lot of roadblocks in the way, and a lot of them have to do with those founders. So yeah. We identified three. And the first one, which is vitally important, is, and we kind of looked at this a couple different ways, but ultimately it comes down to humility. Founders, executives, they need to have the humility. And there's other pieces that go and nuances that go into that. If you could elaborate on a little bit for us.
Yeah, I call it the tax ID syndrome. You create this entity, right? It's your baby. And we're talking primarily about founders, leaders that started businesses. You created this thing and you know kind of what the vision is and you know where you want to go and you know what you want to accomplish, but your skills are only going to get you so far. You were talking about that 5 to 50 million, which is you're 10xing your company. And if you think about all the things that go into that, you know, things that you and I hit on, sales and marketing, things like tax planning, things like cash flow and financial management, operations, having SOPs and all that. You think about all of those things, and then you, the founder, identify what you're good at. And the problem with most founders is they think they're good at all of them. And until you get to the point to where you pull back and you're like, you know what, I'm really good at this. You asked me to identify myself earlier, and I said, I'm really good at sales and marketing. That's what I'm good at. But what I'm not good at is financial management, tax planning, legal issues. The list goes on and on. And so we have partners, vendors, people in place that handle those things. Because if I tried to, I would fail miserably and I wouldn't get to the point to where I want to be. And instead of focus on the thing that I'm good at, I'm spread thin on things that I'm, you know, just trying to work on. And that humility is, you know, we went back and forth. I think I mentioned self-awareness, and I think it takes self-awareness to be able to humble yourself. And it's hard to do that. I'm the best parent for this company. Basically, it's your baby. I'm the best parent. And are you? Are you in the role that you should be in? Because it changes over time. And sometimes, you know, the founder is visionary and you need his vision for, you know, things like that. And other times, the founder had an idea and they needed somebody else to take that vision. Two companies come to mind. One is Apple. Apple had all kinds of different dances with Steve, their founder. And, you know, he left, created another couple companies, and then came back. And when he came back, like the company took off. It's why we have iPhones, you know, it's why we have smartphones in general, is because of his vision. So when he was leading, like he was the right person in that role, but he also had others around him. You think about Google, the two founders there, like I don't think they've been involved in leadership in that company for a long time. I know they're on the board, but like, what's their leadership roles? Like they were smart enough to say, you know what? We can't do this anymore. Like it's not our thing. And I think, you know, like with Facebook right now, like Mark Zuckerberg is kind of hitting up against that because, you know, he's having all these issues in the media where he's the right guy to talk to everybody. I'm talking about in his mind. And it's not going well for him, especially when it comes to his media coverage. So is that him trying to do too much and he's not trusting the team? Like where does he need to get his mind at? And if you think about where you're at in business, are you growing? Are you moving up or are you just covering? Are you just covering what you lost? And in that search, like sometimes it's hard to be humble and say, I fail at this and I need people. But if you can identify, if you can self-identify your strengths and weaknesses and then find the people to fill in around you, then you putting yourself in that, you know, humility role, that servant role is going to allow you to achieve what you want to achieve. And I think leaders, founders, it's difficult to be able to get to that point. But if you can, you're going to see the ramp to get to where you need to be.
You know, as you're talking, I'm starting to think about, okay, so I've come to this point. I'm actually increasing my levels of humility and increasing my levels of self-awareness. What I would do, I wouldn't necessarily just try to find people who can handle some of these things. I would probably, as far as my vendor selection, also be looking for somebody who can coach me, as well as have the ability, a gumption to tell me no.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you're just looking for a vendor who is only going to take your orders, there's no growth associated with that. All there is just pure execution of what you're directing towards them. So here's the thing. Many years ago, also too, when you're talking about this, I'm thinking about somebody started talking about energy units and that every time that we wake up in the morning, we only have so many energy units in our tank.
Yeah.
And when we're doing things that we're good at and come easy to us, we don't burn as many energy units. When we start doing things that are outside of that, we start burning energy units faster. Mm-hmm. And so people who sit here and say, well, I'm a road warrior. I work 80 hours a week. I do this. I'm like, you're an idiot. That's a bad idea. You're not going to scale your business when you're doing that. As a matter of fact, I think you even have a good story that you shared about somebody who was going through that. And then you stepped in and started asking them a bunch of questions and then it's like, oh, then they started making that realization, started seeing things a little bit more clear through the fog. And they started slowly making that shift. Could you share that with us?
Yeah. So you would, you know, in our conversation, you had talked about, founders who wanted to scale, but they didn't have the skill set related to sales and marketing. And so I talked about the other side of it to where the founder was very good at sales and marketing, but he didn't scale it or build a scalable model. Everything was based on his abilities. And I call that founder capital. And we had talked about, you know, valuing a business. And if the founder capital is a large percentage of the value of your business, you don't have a saleable asset. And so his problem was he kept banging up against an annual revenue and that annual revenue never moved because basically he would add clients, but he was replacing what he was losing because he could only do so much. And so his goal, you know, was to double his revenue and he didn't understand, like, we're doing all the right things. But really what he wasn't doing was teaching others how to sell the business. And his model, and we always talk about this in our company, when I do something, I'll ask my director of ops, is that scalable? Is that scalable for other people? And if he says no, then we have to have to adjust what it is we did so that we can focus on making it scalable. And as a founder, like your job is to create systems and processes that others can follow. And you made a good point, having people, vendors, whoever they are, being able to question the process to help you be better. There's a story about Michael Jordan that Charles Barkley told, and they used to be friends. And once he told this story, you know, Jordan doesn't like him anymore. But, you know, he said, Michael's never going to be a good owner because he just has a bunch of yes men around him. He's got guys around him that say, oh, you're right, Michael. Because, I mean, let's be honest, Michael Jordan's the GOAT. So Charles was saying, you know, what made him good in basketball as a player doesn't make him good as an owner. And you can see from the results of his teams, like they're not winning championships at levels that he did. So he needs people to be able to question him. And I think that's the biggest piece. And you said it perfectly. If you don't have vendors, people, partners that question your process or question what it is that you're doing to try to get to that level, then why? Like, what is the catalyst for change then? There isn't one.
That's right. All you're doing is just, you know, doing the same things over and again without that, you know, creative thinking and innovation that's required in order for you to experience that type of growth. And so, yeah. Okay. So part of what you were talking about got us into our second point, which is most important. And we talked about the hit by bus mindset. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the hit by bus mindset.
So the hit by bus mindset is reminded to me almost on a daily basis by my wife, because that's her question. What happens if you get hit by a bus? I'll be like, you'll be rich because we got life insurance. And she's like, no. All the people that count on us. Oh, that. Okay. So yeah, I mean, you have to build a company that you can remove yourself from and it still functions. And if you don't have that, you don't have a business. Like, you really don't. Yep. You have a high paying job maybe, but you don't have a business. And one of the functions of a founder is to create the foundation. Like, if you look on our website, we have a page that says foundations, and what it is, it's our mission statement and it's our core values. We live and breathe off of those two things. Mission statement is to help as many business owners as possible achieve their level of success on a daily basis. Like, that's our mission statement. So what does that look like every day? It looks like different things every day, but at the end of the day, are we helping this business owner achieve their level of success? Because that's the mission. And then two, we have a set of core values, and our set of core values are pretty simple. You know, number one, we respond same day to a customer inquiry. So like, if somebody sends an email, like, we have a response to that customer. Two, you know, we solve problems. We don't, we don't try to place blame. We solve problems. We make this easy. That's number three. So making it easy means, if somebody hires us to do something, we don't tell them, hey, give us this, 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 and this. Like, we go get it and we build it for them. And then four, production over perfection. Like, speed wins every time. Speed wins every time. Like, why is Tesla the largest electric car manufacturer that there is? Because he ran as quickly as he could to get to that point, right? And so we focus on those four things. And then from those four things, we have standard operating procedures. And I think we're at about a 90% complete rate. We have standard operating procedures for 90% of the stuff that we do in our company to help customers. So what that looks like is videos and manuals that step-by-step tell you how to take the circle and put it in the hole, how to take the square and put it in the hole, where to get the circle and square, like all of that. And we have all of that cataloged. We have all of that in place to where we bring somebody on new into a role and we tell them, here's what you're going to do today. Here's the SOP for it. Follow the SOP. And then the other piece of that are the people that work on the SOPs. Like, I want you to improve it. I want you to make it better. And we have a bonus structure in place that if you improve something and there are at least three people that say, yeah, that improves, then you get paid a bonus. So everybody is always looking for ways to improve it so that Gary Guyman isn't the one that has to hold the hands to make sure the processes get done in a timely fashion, so that if I do get hit by a bus, Dominate Partners lives on. And so looking at your organization, that hit by bus mindset, does everybody know what the mission is or the vision is? Is it clear? Like I tell people all the time, you should be preaching your mission and vision daily to your people. They're not going to know it unless you tell it. Then core values, like that should be, this is how we handle people. Obviously, honesty, integrity, like all of those. Yes. But these four things are just non-negotiables. They're non-negotiables with honesty and integrity and those things. Like, this is how we do business. Why are those four values like that? Because that's how I want to be. That's how I want people to do business with me. And I know that that's the way most people want business done with them. People hate when you send an inquiry, nobody responds. It's annoying. It's so annoying, especially if I'm giving somebody money. So like those core values are very important, that this is our foundation. And then the SOPs tell us what to do. And without those three things in place, you're hit by a bus, your business is going to go away in a specific period of time based upon your attrition rate and based upon where you're currently at. It could be 3 years, 3 months, 5 years, 10, but it's going to go away. If you don't have it to where it's sustainable in every area, like if I don't come into this office, this business continues to run. Now, there's 10% of our business that doesn't. And so that 10% is going to affect our growth if I'm not here. So we have to get that 10% under SOP, and we have to be able to scale it. So look at your business. Like, does everybody know the vision? Right? I know people that they have daily meetings with their team and they ask them, what's the vision? Somebody different every day. And then tell us our core values. And so everybody shares one core value or something like that. The idea is don't have a million core values, have a specific set, right? And then the next piece is always be upgrading and improving your SOPs. If you don't have SOPs, then that's where you start. But if you do, always be improving, always be making it better, always be finding ways to improve and having your team find the ways to improve. And to get out of that hit by bus mindset, and I have to believe, Jim, just based on conversations of the thousands of business owners I've talked to over the years, the majority of people who own a business, no matter what the level is, struggle with that piece more than anything else.
Why do you suspect that that is?
I think it goes back to the first thing we talked about, humility. And they don't understand that what you have in here, everybody else doesn't know. Right? We know, like, you know how you want your company to run, grow, scale. You know, I know, but everybody else around me, unless that comes out, nobody else knows. One company that we own, my wife again, who is the savant, obviously, she said to me, "What is hidden in your head? No one else, and no one is like you. So you have to get that information to everyone so that they can perform at their level." She was right. Like, absolutely right. Because I knew, but nobody else knew. And I think there's going to be people listening and say, well, I share what our vision is and I share what this is. Okay. Are you really sharing it daily? Are you really embedding this into the thread of who they are and what they are doing business in your company or with your company? And I think that is the other piece of why a lot of people struggle with this hit by bus mindset, because they're not sharing, they're not teaching it, they're not leading based upon those things. And so that's going to keep them from being able to overcome the scale as well, because they just don't have a team rowing the boat the same way.
Well, okay. So you had mentioned something about, you know, 90% of the business being documented through or with SOPs, standard operating procedures. I mean, for me, I'm taking a step back and I'm thinking, well, is it realistic that you can have 100% of your business, you know, in SOP? Are there some things that are kind of like, you know, well, you don't really, you know, put that, you know, in under an SOP. I mean, because otherwise people are saying, what goes in, what, you know, what's, what, go, what is out? I mean,
I mean, that's a good question. And that's probably part of our struggle, why we don't have everything SOP'd. I think my push to our team is every process to be in that SOP format, but we struggle with a small portion of it because it's like you said, there's, I think there's two things. One, there's multiple ways to do these, this 10%. And so what's the right way to do it? And then two, this 10% is also always ever changing. So like how defined of, and you know, we try to get really defined. I believe that most people read on a sixth grade level. So we try to do this on a fourth grade level. And because I want it to be easy. If it's not easy, then somebody's going to get lost in the weeds and I'll be able to do it. So that last 10% doesn't fit what my standard is for an SOP. And you're probably right. Almost up to the 100% of that being the issue.
Okay. So if I'm thinking about the whole scalability piece, and also, you know, you start talking about, you know, that taking the leap, you know, and 10Xing the business. And I'm thinking about this, you know, hit by bus type of mindset. I would also have to believe that if I am looking at magnifying and multiplying the business to that degree, also the complexity is commensurate with that. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Which makes it even more important to get experts around you that can help. I mean, the complexity kind of 10X is the difficulty. And you know, what got you to where you are isn't going to get you to where you want to be.
Well, and that leads us into number three, which is number three was investing in depth. And we kind of started this discussion there, but if you can expand upon that a little bit.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's the jack of all trades mindset. Founders, man, we know everything. And I say, I've struggled with this. I probably still struggle with this. As I told you, I was having a conversation with my wife last night at dinner and, I was just, she gets my, just vomit sometimes, unfortunately for her. And I was just like, you know, I'm not where I want to be this year. Like we do really well, but I'm not where I want to be because I have, you know, I got ridiculous goals and, I'm just not there. And she was like, well, what's keeping you from it? Cause she knows, like, if I put my mind, I'm going to sell this much today, we'll do that. I'm like, well, my problem is knowing how financial management and cash flow optimization works. Like, I don't know that. And I didn't go to school for it. I don't care to know it. Like, I like numbers. I can do numbers quick in my head, like percentages and things like that, and just recall. But you get into the analytics and the spreadsheets and the analysis, I'm going to gloss over. I want to go somewhere else. So I don't understand the complexity of that. And when you're getting into 7-8 figures with your business, you have to have people in place that can help you manage that cash flow effectively. There are days of the week that are going to be better optimized to do simple things like cut checks. Like it just is. And I know people that have those people in place. And I always would like scratch my head, like, you're paying somebody that much money to write checks? No, they're not paying that much money to write checks. They're paying somebody that much money to manage the flow of cash so you always have it available for the things that you need. And I'm just kind of explaining that piece to her. She was a little confused, like, you're really good with numbers. How would cash flow optimization be something you struggle with? Like, well, it's always been something I've struggled with. I just don't understand the complexities. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't write checks when there ain't no money in the bank. I get that, but it's like, how do you flow, you know, 6-7 figures a month through a bank account and make it work for you? Like, that's a big piece. And as founders, like, I know guys that are doing 5-10 million a year. And they have a bookkeeper and that's it. Like literally writing a check and they sign it. No, like you have to have someone there managing that. And the six figures you're going to pay to them a year is going to show up on your profit and loss and balance sheet in ways that you never thought before. That's just one piece. And you'll have founders that are unlike me and not good at sales and marketing. And I think you touched on this, like, well, I sell everything because I know this business. And then they get to a point to where they need to scale and their sales process isn't scalable and they don't know how to do anything besides network. Like, they know how to go and meet people at conferences, shake hands and get them interested, but they don't know how to create prospects from, you know, writing articles, from running ads. Like, they don't know that, or they don't have the capability to understand it, but they think they should be in charge of sales and marketing. And I think you look at founders in specific places, specifically revenue levels, and you can see, okay, founder says, I'm struggling with this. And you look and you see, okay, well, it's because you're trying to do it and you shouldn't be doing it. And the word that you used is the correct word, and that was investing in depth. Too many times we look at stuff as either revenue or an expense, when really a lot of things are going to be investments in your team, investments in yourself. And what does that investment look like? And what's the return on it? And that is hard. That goes back to the first thing we talked about, humility. It's hard for people to say, I'm not good at that. So I need to invest to find the right person, application, solution, vendor, whatever it is, that can not only do it, but like you said, question how you're doing it to improve it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody who's in the learning and development space, and they were talking about investing in the development and training of their people. And I said, look, there's a mysterious or a hidden metric that oftentimes people don't even use when they're looking at different solutions in order to be able to do that. And it's called learning quality. So if we're talking, for example, about leadership development, I can go and purchase a $150 course from Pryor on leadership, right? Okay, but what's the quality of that learning? When you look at how adults go about learning and something that's very complex like leadership is really a journey. There's a lot of, you know, science and nuance and, you know, behavior-based things that are associated with that. A $150 course is merely just going to give you information. It won't give you transformation. Mm-hmm. So the learning quality is very low.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand learning quality and the differences between the investments, you're going to make the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great. I like how you said that. It's going to give you information, but not transformation. I think that plays into all three things that we talked about. Like, information is great. It gives you kind of what you need to fill in the holes. But if you're wanting to transform either as a leader or your company or people on your company, like, there has to be pieces that give, you know, especially for your people and yourself, that gives you direction and gets you out of the, I'm focused on, you know, growing my company. Like, there has to be altruistic things that you yourself and your team, if it's your team that you're building, are looking at besides just revenue. Like I talked earlier, the one thing that I do every day I wake up, I want to help business owners achieve their version of success. But let's be real, every day I wake up and I want to make money too. That's absolutely true, but they're both true. It's just, what are you focused on today? Are you focused on helping business owners be successful? Or are you focused on making money? It's not wrong to be focused on either one. What's your focus? Like, some days that focus of just making money is going to put in peril the focus of helping business owners achieve their version of success, because making money might not necessarily help them. And so you have to align those two things. And what you were talking about, information versus transformation, and getting to that point of what is my focus today and how does that impact my mission? And having that understanding, having that clear understanding and having that conversation with yourself on a daily basis is what you have to do to be able to build that organization where you want it to go. And I think there's struggles, too many struggles really in that piece of it where we want to focus on business. But we have to understand at the end of the day, like business is people. And so what are you doing to impact the people around you that either do business with you or are on the same boat rowing with you? Like, what are you doing to impact their lives? What are you doing to impact their abilities? What are you doing to impact how they, how they grow? Is it a byproduct of everything or is it the focus? And I think if we get focused on it, then all those other things begin to come in play. But as the leader, you have to have what that true north is so that everybody can follow what that true north is. You know, I heard somebody talk about Wolf of Wall Street and how, you know, in that movie, it showed him as this guy that was going to get stuff. And he was trying to make money. And I heard someone talk about it on a podcast and they said, you know, I think he's paid his dues. He should be able to, you know, talking about Jordan Belfort, he's paid his dues. Like he should be able to go do this or that, blah, blah, blah. And the guy that was being interviewed said, yeah, but he broke a lot of laws and he damaged a lot of people. Cause they were saying, would you invite him to speak at your event is what it was. And so the guest was like, no, cause he was focused on himself and he damaged a lot of people. And he was like, well, didn't he pay his dues? Well, I would have to see a transformation. I haven't seen the transformation. Like, and so as a leader, like, what are you focused on? And I think if you fix your focus or if you get clear your focus, like the three secrets that we gave you, like they'll be like, you'll see them, you'll understand them, you'll be able to get over them. But if your focus is on, you know, the number or the money or whatever that isn't about people, that's where it's hard for people to get over and understand these secrets to be able to scale.
You know, as you're saying that, I start thinking about not to be named, but there's a couple of athletes that are in solitary types of sports and who've been very successful, like tennis. Well, you look at the person on the court, you look at golf, you look at the person, on the course, and the ones who are the most successful and can actually hold on to it. So they're performing over a period of time. When they're being interviewed, they start talking about their team.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're out there playing. No, I've got an awesome team.
Right.
Everybody knows who's had success and who can sustain it knows that is required. So yeah. if also too, there's depth. So when you look at the people who they have on their team, they're not the bookkeeper.
No.
Definitely not. There's someone who's more advanced and has more depth.
Yeah.
Man, Gary Guymon, that's a fantastic conversation. How does the B2B DM gang get in touch with you?
So probably the easiest way is on Facebook, facebook.com/ Gary Guymon, GEIMAN. You also check out our website, which is Salvo, SALVONOW.com. Salvo is a French and German military term that was used back in World War I to shoot all your guns at once. And I believe that's what marketing and sales is all about. Try to shoot as many opportunities as you can. And you can check us out there or on Facebook. And have questions, feel free to hit me in the DMs and I'd be happy to answer them.
Gary Guymon, thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom. And we wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Go now to join the B2B DM gang in the B2B Marketer LinkedIn group. where you can connect with other B2B DM disruptors and get access to our B2B DM cheat sheets, checklist, and guides. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, please help by going to iTunes to rate, review, and subscribe. And share the show on all of your digital platforms. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. And always remember, you can automate your lead capture, but you must lure your lead.